I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. I enjoy reading the treasure boards on the internet, and I see a lot of recurring themes. I've covered quite a few of those themes in past programs, but there's one that I don't think I've touched on before, and it's important enough that I should have presented this program early on. I'm talking about the use of contracts to search a private property. Every treasure board out there has sample contracts that have been written by treasure hunting hobbyists. Contracts between parties of the first part, the landowners, and parties of the second part, the treasure hunters. I did a search for contracts on two of the more popular boards, and I got 80 hits on one and 82 on the other. So there is a lot of interest in contracts to search private property. And right here at the beginning, let me emphasize that I am not a lawyer, and my comments are not to be construed as legal advice. If you need legal advice, see a lawyer. I understand there are a lot of them out there. No, what I have to report here are just the observations of a longtime treasure hunter. If I were going to do a search of a property that required a signed contract, I would have that contract written by an attorney. If it's important enough that you need to put it in writing, it's important enough that you don't want it to come back and bite you. A layman writing a contract is a disaster waiting to happen. Having made myself clear on that, let me say this. This discussion of contracts is all a moot point for me, because I would never use a written contract. Why not? Because they scare people. They psychologically escalate the importance of the hunt, and that is the last thing you want. You want to project the attitude that some people fish for a hobby, some people watch ball games, and some crazies like you enjoy finding pennies and nickels in your spare time with your metal detector. It's all just for fun. Just a little harmless hobby you enjoy. It should be plenty enough to say informally, "Hey, I'll give you half of what I find if I find anything good." A written contract suddenly makes this a big deal. You must know something they don't. There must be treasure on the property. Now they're suspicious and wary of letting you hunt their yard. They have to sign a legal document to allow you to hunt their property? And how exactly can they enforce this contract? Why, by spending big bucks to hire a lawyer, that's how. Then you have to hire a lawyer to fight their lawyer. The only winners here are the lawyers. So no, never use contracts. Unless you know there's really a treasure on the property and they know it too. That's the only time that lawyers make sense. Now for those of you who disregard this sage advice and want to use a contract anyway, there's one clause you should never use. And that is the hold harmless clause. The one that says the property owner is not responsible if the treasure hunter is injured while on the property. The clause that says the property owner is free from legal liability. Why not use this clause? Because if you are injured, and you have promised not to sue, it does neither of you any good. Because your insurance company has made no such promise, and if your insurance company has to pay your emergency room bills, you can bet they're going to want their money back. And they'll sue the property owner, no matter what your contract says. I guarantee you they won't sign that hold harmless clause. How do you think this makes you look? My guess is that what would probably happen next is the property owner would sue you to get back what the insurance company sued him for, because you falsely promised in your contract that they weren't liable. So, bottom line, forget contracts, stay informal, have some fun, split the loot, grow old and prosper. Something like that. For more articles on treasure hunting, see the bottom of my website at treasuremanual.com. All one word, treasuremanual.com. Thanks for listening. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.